fallen in love with Jesus. So fallen in love with Jesus. Fallen in love with Jesus. So was the best thing I ever done. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, I'm falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. 'Cause in his arms I feel protected. Oh, in his arms, never disconnected. Oh, in his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather ever be. 'Cause he's faithful. Because he's faithful. If he's been faithful to you, why don't you just raise your hand and say, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being a God that I can depend on. For being there at my best and my worst. For loving me when I've done all that I could. And sometimes when I've offered less, I thank God that he's faithful. I appreciate him tonight. So glad for the good presence we felt here today. Brother Byerly, I'm still lacking a little bit on this monitor here. If I could have a little bit more, I appreciate it, brother. I've enjoyed the atmosphere that's been at this youth camp. I appreciate all the wonderful preaching that I've got to hear. And all the good preachers that's been here. I've seen no competitive spirit, just everybody coming with a burden. And I love that. I love when people come and they're just delivering their heart, their soul, and their life, and sharing what God has given them. And everything we've heard, it's been edifying, it's been uplifting, it's been challenging. And I appreciate that from the very depths of my heart. I appreciate the conviction we felt around these altars this morning. Aren't you glad for the good spirit of the Lord that was here around these altars? And then this afternoon and all that we've heard, and then tonight being reminded again by Brother Sweeney that he's coming like a thief in the night, that we need to be ready. I'm so thankful that you and I know the Lord the way that we do. Amen. If you want to turn with me again, I'm going to do my best to wrap up in Mark chapter 2 here tonight. I want to say again how much I appreciate the opportunity to get to be here. I've enjoyed everything. You know, I know that camp food gets a bad rap, but I haven't starved this week, and the food's been great. And if you don't like the food here, you need to go with me to Trinidad here in just a couple weeks. You'll love the food here. Amen. We appreciate all the cooking that's been done, all the meals that's been provided. I appreciate every smile, every friendly welcome. I like coming to a camp where people just open up and embrace you. And they act like you're part of the family of God. And like you're part of their own family, and they smile at you whether they know you or not. Believe it or not, I've been some places where I felt like I was a stranger, and I liked it that way. Because if they treated me that way and didn't know me, I didn't want them to get a chance to know me and then treat me the way they wanted to. Amen. I'm so thankful to get the privilege to be here among you, to have the privilege to feel God's presence and to grow together. Amen. If you feel like God's already made an impact on your life this week, why don't you just raise your hand? You feel like God's already made a change. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank God. Stand with me all over the building. Matthew chapter 2. I appreciate all of your attentiveness. I appreciate everybody doing their best to insert themselves in the service and be a part of what's going on. I appreciate all the praying around the altars. I want to encourage you tonight, if you came with somebody, I want you to look around and find your youth group. I want you to make up your mind that when you get done praying tonight at this altar, you're going to find somebody else you came with that's still in the altar, and you ain't going to leave till they do. Will you do that with me tonight? I'm talking about making a commitment. Find somebody that you came with. And if you don't know anybody here, you say, preacher, I came and I'm not real familiar. There's somebody that'll pray with you, and there's somebody you can pray with. Let's make a commitment to help one another in these altars. Amen. Mark chapter 2. We're going to go there one more time. If you're there, you ought to have a crease in your Bible already from the last two nights. Should be easy to find. But I'm going to give you one more opportunity to say amen like you're saved anyway. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. That's as far as we've got so far this week. We've made it known that Christ is in this place. We've done everything we can to make sure that it doesn't matter what condition you came in, to let you know that you can leave different than you came. But I want to turn your attention tonight, Lord's willing, for the last time in my opportunity to be here. I want to turn your attention to four individuals that don't get enough credit. Four individuals that don't get talked about a whole lot. I want you to look at this, verse 3. And they come unto him, come unto Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, somebody say, break it up. Look at your neighbor and say it again, break it up. Say it like you mean it. Break it up. Hallelujah. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, does anybody here tonight realize that somebody else getting what they need may not be completely dependent upon their ability to believe whether God is able or not? Do you realize there may be somebody in this room that is needing to see your faith, your commitment, your made up mind, your determination? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's where I'm going to stop reading tonight. If God would help me for just a few moments, I'm going to make this assumption that if it took four individuals to get this one man where he needed to be in the presence of God, it may take a couple of you dedicating some time, some effort. And here's something that I've noticed. It's popular as a preacher, as a minister. You can find a minister that'll throw a net and try to catch a bunch. But you're hard-pressed to find a minister that'll throw a line to catch one. As long as we can be up front, as long as everybody's hearing us, as long as we get the accolades of a lot of different people, seems like there's no shortage of individuals that want to hold the mic. But when it comes down to one individual that is not convenient to talk to, that's got problems that go beyond what you know and is going to take up some of your time, can I tell you the biggest prejudice that we have in America is not whites against blacks or blacks against Hispanics or any race or creed. The greatest prejudice we have is against needy people. Can you help me out? Well, how much time is it going to take? Hey, can I get you to help me do something? What do you want me to do? I want to look at this generation. I want to tell you something. I believe that every one of you that are here tonight, I believe it's God's providence that's brought you. But I also believe it's the prayers of somebody that's made up their mind. If we can get them to camp in the presence of God, maybe their life will be completely altered and changed. And I'm come to tell you tonight that it's now, some of you, it's your responsibility to understand and identify the needs of those close to you. How many would say, I'm a young person, but I've already found somebody this week that really needs Jesus? All right, I'm looking for more participation. Let me try it this way. I've been here at youth camp, and I know I'm a young person, but I've already found somebody that needs to take a bath. Found some girl that's not real good at fixing her hair. Some guy that has no idea that he's not good at sports. Some dude that hasn't figured out yet he's not God's gift to women. I know it's all right to smile at youth camp. That's why we're here. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Here's what I want to tell you. As much as you and I can smile and look around right now, here's the reality is there's somebody that's going to go home hurting this week if you don't make a difference. And here's what I've come to tell you is helping somebody get where they need to be in God is not an easy matter. Helping somebody get to church is easy. Helping somebody get delivered and get free and get blessed is a completely different story. And I believe that those of you that are here at youth camp, it's already been preached. Many are called, but few are chosen. I believe personally that I'm preaching to the chosen this week. I believe that. I believe that every individual here in this room, God has commissioned you and given you a specific calling from before the foundations of the world. He's chosen you. As it was preached this morning, that means before the nightingale was taught its song, before the earth was separated and the waters from the firmament, before there was light and darkness, before a star was hung in the sky, God had ordained your purpose to do and commit yourself to the will of God, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of somebody else. If God would help me preach for just a little while, I want to preach for just a few moments tonight on brace for the wait. Brace for the wait. I'm not here to discourage anybody, but some of you have taken this matter frivolous. And we always, how many individuals do you know? We had a made up mind. We're going to help them get to Jesus. And then we found out their problem and we left them right where we picked them up. We found out their issues were deeper than what we knew. And so we just decided to turn a deaf ear and walk away. I want to tell you, there's too many people hurting just outside the door. There's too many individuals that get just inside the church. There's too many people under the sound of our voice that never get through in an altar. We need somebody that's going to stand up, make a commitment and say, I'm going to brace for the wait because I'm not leaving until that one person gets what they need from God. I need somebody that's going to help me tonight. Somebody that's got a made up mind. Here's the fact is there's a lot of individuals. You look around. I know you're standing. I'm going to say it again. You young people, it's good for you. I want you going to sleep on me yet tonight. You're going to sit down in a moment. Here's what I want to tell you is there's a lot of individuals. They'll sign up for the Army. Boy, I'm going to be a Marine. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to go into the Air Force. I'm going to do this or that. And many of them, I'm going to get me a free college scholarship. I'm going to get me a free ride. I'm going to get all these benefits. I've had these individuals, these same individuals that were so excited about enlisting. They call me and they say, you better pray. They want me to go to Iraq. What did you sign up for? There's a lot of people enlisted, but there's not many engaged. Lots of people attend an altar, but there's not many people praying. A lot of people will raise their hands, but there's no commitment in their heart that follows the hand that's lifted up. But I believe somebody here tonight is going to get a different perspective. They're going to become somebody that's going to lead someone else to the Lord. We're going to get them there. We're going to get them there. Would you raise your hands? Let's ask God tonight. Help us, Lord. I thank you right now for your goodness that I feel. I pray, Lord, that you would raise our expectations. Lord, some of us have already settled that the best services that we're going to experience were in the past. They've already been taking place. They've already been felt. Your power has already been known. But God, I happen to believe that you are just as great now as you've ever been and that every day with you is sweeter than the day before. I pray right now that you'd allow your anointing to come down. God, allow your spirit to fill this room. God, I pray that you'd give somebody an attitude of gratitude, remembering where they've been brought from and the time and the effort that's been spent and invested in their life just so they could get to where they are. I pray that you'd move around these altars. God, help us to push for one another, to pray for one another, to share with one another, to bear one another's burden. Move in this place tonight. God, give us that strength that only comes from you. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you're worthy of it. We ask it all in the name of He that is higher than any other name. In Jesus' name, we believe these things to be done. And the church said, amen. You can be seated tonight. May God bless you. I want to take just a moment, if I could, and I want to give props to four individuals that we don't know their names. They are anonymous. They're pretty much faceless. We don't know what they look like, their pedigree. We don't know anything about their ancestry. But because of them, we have a story in the Bible that has inspired generations. I personally, if I could preface this, I like these four men, and probably for reasons that you would not think. I like them, number one, because they're radical. I like them because they're not your run of the mill. I like them because they're not your cookie cut Christian. Their determination went beyond the object of a discouragement and a hindrance. Can I tell some of you tonight that I've met people that they're all for doing something for God until all of a sudden there's an obstacle that's stuck in their way. They're kind of like the children of Israel that God saw fit to deliver them out of bondage. I mean, take you out of a place where you're getting beat in your back with a whip, where your children are being threatened, where you're forced to live someplace under bondage, and I mean get set free, walk out. I know the allegory of coming out of Egypt is like coming out of the world, sin, flesh, and bondage. But here's the reality. As much of us that are here tonight will come to a Red Sea experience, and just like every one of those people there murmuring, we're ready to say that God dealt us a bad hand. Maybe not everything he said was as good as he painted it to be. Some of us have got a developed appetite for Egyptian cuisine, and we're ready to go back to the leeks and the garlics. But I've come to tell you, the Red Seas are not in front of us so that we will throw up our hands, throw in the towel, and give in. But they are to make you know God like you have never experienced him before. It's one thing to know deliverance, to walk out into liberty, but then it's another thing to look at an impossibility of the forces of Mother Nature and watch God's handiwork begin to work on your behalf. I still believe that all things. I believe that tumors, I believe that cancer, I believe that broken homes, I believe that all things, just like the Bible says, work together for the good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I didn't say everything that happens to you is good, but I said that God can turn it around 180 degrees, and it doesn't matter how bad it is, God is able to take the bad and make it good. How many knows God can take a dirty, rotten man and make him good? If God can do that, then God can take a good man and make him better. Somebody say, God ain't done with me. He's still working on me. I'm still progressing. I'm still not what I'm going to be. There's still more to me than meets the eye. I still believe that there's going to be greater things happen in my life because God's hand is still upon me and he's leading me. The little bit of discouragement many of us face, we forget and we misunderstand that this is not an obstruction that is permanent. Let me understand, trials always have an end. Let me tell you something you should write down. I heard a lot smarter man than I come up with this. I wish I could take credit for it. But here's what I want to tell you. Because he came up with it, now I'm forgetting it. The reality is this, is that when you and I go through something, just on the other side is deliverance. Just beyond your hindrance is your entrance. Just beyond that, that is looking at you, saying that there's no way that you can get beyond it, your entrance is just beyond your hindrance. Here's what I've come to tell some of you, is we look at these things as if they are walls that are 8 foot deep. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how deep they are. It doesn't matter how hard, how scary, what they may be. I've come to tell you, just beyond it, on the other side of what you're looking at as an obstruction, there is a Savior that's waiting
waiting for you to make up your mind. The Bible says that he won't put anything upon us that is greater than we are able to bear. And if we're able to bear it long enough, we can get to the other side and realize that it wasn't there for my bad. It was there for my good. You can look at your brothers like Joseph did and say, you intended this to be a bad thing for me, but I moved into a place I could have never been without you messing with my life. I could not have progressed myself to this place. I could not have given myself this raise. I could not have been somebody that on my own brought myself to the palace of Pharaoh, but I'm here because everything the devil put in my way, God turned a stumbling block into a stepping stone, and I'm higher, I'm better, I'm stronger. I said I'm stronger. I've got more faith now than I did back then, not because I've never had a problem, but because I've had more than I can remember. But in spite of my problems, I'm on the other side shouting glory, hallelujah. God's goodness and his mercy is sufficient in my life. This hindrance we find, I think that you and I just need to make up our mind. Whatever this hindrance is, let's tear into it. Let's tear into it. That's what we find. These men come to a place where they have had every intention of getting this one individual to Jesus. Now, here's what I want to note. There's four of them working for the embitterment of one. Four individuals have bound together saying, we're going to get this man to God. We've taken our time. We've taken off work today. We've walked all this way. They are met with a press that is so mighty that you can't get in the door. You can't get beyond. All the press is there. Everybody is looking for the same thing. I want Jesus to touch me. I want to get close. I want to hear his words. I wish everybody felt that way tonight. There'd be more of you that would be scooting up toward the front. There'd be more of you that'd be looking for God. Saying, I'll sit up there in the spit row. I'll sit up there where the preacher can spit on me while he preaches. It don't matter to me. Why? Because Jesus is close. Because that's where his power is. Because that's where his glory is. Everybody had the same anticipation. It's not that way today. If you want to get a seat in the back, you gotta show up early. Most churches you go to, that's the case. But here's what I've come to tell you, is they come and they see the press. They see the problem. And what most of us would do is look at that individual and say, this ain't your day. This is not your time. Our opportunity is gone. We've come here before. Some of you, all it takes is coming into a church and find the preacher that you was looking for to be there has canceled, has had a problem, isn't going to show up, and somebody else is going to preach, and you're ready to write off God's possibility of touching your life. You close your mind to all the opportunities of the service. All it takes for some of you is to see that one individual that's done you wrong, that one person that's been gossiping about you, and all that is something that hinders you. It makes you feel like there ain't no need for me to press in. I can't get into church with that hypocrite here. I've come to tell you, I will be John Brown before I let some goofy hypocrite keep me from getting in his presence. There's too much that is resting on what I need. There's too many things in my life that I need God to touch. God, help us to realize our tiredness becomes a hindrance. Our feebleness becomes a hindrance. Our worries become a hindrance. But I've come to tell you, all those hindrances added up, it's not more than we can get through if we'll bind together, make up our mind, even on a Wednesday night. I'm going to press in where his glory is, and this individual that I have dedicated my prayers for, I'm not leaving. I said I'm not going away. I'm not leaving them at the door. I'm not going to set them outside his presence, but I'm going to make sure that before I leave this place, they've got the same strength that I have. They've got the same power that I have. God is here, and my mind is made up. You've had a lot that's given up, given in, given out, given over, But I'm preaching to a generation that if there's ever been one that needs to get through, it's us. It's us. If you quit now, this is what I was going to tell you later. Quitting is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you quit right now, you give up on everything and it's over. But what you'll find is that your trial wasn't going to last always. There was an end to it, and you gave up before the end. It's amazing to me that so many other things in life that are important to us, we won't give up on them. Kind of like the lunch line here at Truth Camp. I'm going to just let a moment of honesty out. I was being my humble self and the humble evangelist that I try to portray. And everybody kept telling me, you can go to the front of the line. Just go to the front of the line. That's whatever they expect you to do. I had 20 different people come by. Brother Hatfield, just go to the front of the line. No, I hate to go in front of everybody. Man, it makes them think that I feel like I'm better than they are. I've got more important things to do than they do. So I stood there Monday, waiting in line. I haven't done that again. But some of you have stood there. Why? Because you're going to eat. I don't care if there's not barbecue for the chicken. I'm going to get up there and get my chicken if I got to salt it till I see white all over the top. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to get some. Why? Because we've done made up our mind. I'm going to get up there, get what I want. I wish some of us had the same desire in the house of God that says it doesn't matter if it takes half the afternoon. I can't leave yet. I haven't got my lunch. Oh, you ain't even hearing what I'm saying. I don't care if it takes half the night. I can't walk out of here yet. I haven't got full of the Holy Ghost. I can't leave this place yet. I can't walk out of this house. I can't quit now. I've been praying all year for this solitary moment. I've been looking forward to this opportunity since last year. I can't walk out now. I haven't got what I need yet. Somebody raise your hands. Tell God, I'm waiting on you. I'm going to wait it out. I'm believing you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let me get into this real quick. Don't you for a second think that ministry is easy. There's a lot of individuals that go to Bible college for different reasons. I'm for it. I'm not against it, okay? I want every Bible college student here to know that. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm glad there's a place that we can go and you can dedicate your time and life to God. I'm trying to be careful. Because everybody knows that Bible colleges, they're synonyms. They all have all kinds of names that go with them. You know, Figby. Help me, Lord. It's been called a lot of different things. OBI, a lot of different things. And if you want to know what they are later, I'll tell you right now. Figby was Fat Girls Bridal Institute when I was a little kid. It's been that way for a long time. It's a joke. Put a smile on your face. Don't get mad. Here's what I want to tell you. Those hours and those dollars that are spent are well worth it because they teach you that ministry is work. It is dedication. Don't you for a second be duped into thinking that ministry is easy. Why? Because when you carry the burden of someone else, it is a heavy load. And that's what ministry is, brothers and sisters. It's not about you. It's not about you showing off. It's not about your singing ability. It's not about your preaching ability. It's not about your name on the top of a flyer. It's not about your picture going all over the United States. It's about one lost lamb. If the Lord said he'd leave the 99 and go looking for the one that was disobedient and astray, then I've come to tell you, because he is our example, there ought to be something in me that says, I will forsake the limelight for the gutter any day. I will forsake the accommodations of the air condition and the accolades, and I will walk to the depressed and the oppressed and the captive, and I will preach the gospel that the Lord has anointed me to preach, and I'm not leaving them captives. I'm not leaving them oppressed. I'm not leaving them depressed. God help half our church that's taking pills so they can sleep at night and so they can get up in the morning. We need a church that's saved, that's sanctified, that's delivered, and that is ministry minded, that says, I'm going to help somebody else reach where I'm at. And when he gets where I am, we're going to go forward together in the army of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 61, David cried out, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All of us want to lead somebody, but none of us are guaranteed what kind of condition that we're going to find them in. When we reach the end of the earth, you can't always take their hand and just lead them. You can't always just point the direction. Sometimes you have to shoulder their person, shoulder their problem, shoulder their condition, and carry them to Christ. What do you need? You need strength. The Bible says in Luke 24, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Power for what? I want to ask this question, because there's a lot of young people that don't understand. There's not a one of us here tonight that wouldn't say, yes, we need the Holy Ghost. I just found out a day or two ago that we're on UPC campgrounds. They believe if you don't get the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to heaven. I believe the blood is enough to save anybody. If it took the Holy Ghost to go to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have to die. I believe you're just as saved as you'll ever be when you get up from an altar, you've confessed your sins, and you believe who Christ is. But here's what I'd also like to tell us. He wouldn't send us a free gift and make it available to everybody if it wasn't necessary. I've heard young people all over the land ask me, preacher, would you pray for me that I get the Holy Ghost? Yes. But here's my follow-up question. Why do you want it? I need it. Yeah, I know. But for what? Well, so my pastor will get off me and I can speak in tongues and I can quit seeking in the altar. What do you need the Holy Ghost for? I want that to sink in a moment. Why do you seek the Holy Ghost? Why do you need it? It's not just so you can say, well, I sought it. I've had people ask me this week, and I love it. There's nothing wrong. I'm going to pray with you. I want you to receive the Holy Ghost, but I want you to understand why. There's a lot of you want to seek it, and you get mad and frustrated when you don't get it the first night. You are the people I'm talking about that come to the door, see the press, and walk away disappointed. You are the people that look around and see that everybody's got it and you're the one that doesn't yet. You don't want to put in the time. I told somebody just this week, I'm believing God to give you the Holy Ghost, but I want you to understand, I sought for the Holy Ghost for a year before I ever received it, and I would not trade the process for the product, because that year that I sought the Holy Ghost, I got closer to God than I would have ever got if I'd have got it the first night. I wouldn't have prayed. I wouldn't have cried. I wouldn't have given myself. Some of you want to skip the process, go straight to the front of the line, go past, go collect the Holy Ghost blessing, shout your way out the door, and you won't appreciate it a bit. But if you've wallowed in an altar, if you've shouted your shirt tail out, if you've sweat and perspired in front of everybody in the auditorium until every ounce of the starchy pride has been shook out of you, can I tell you, when you get full of power, you'll know its purpose. You'll know its meaning. You'll understand he gave me the Holy Ghost so that I might have power. Power. Power not for myself, but power for the world around me. Some of you still got to understand what I'm saying. I bought a new truck this last year because my old truck kept breaking down. It's a great truck. Everybody said, that's the motor. That's the truck you want to have. That old 7.3 is a war horse. It's not going to break down. With 300,000 miles, it needed new injectors. I'd put $2,500 into it, and it was breaking down. New injectors was going to run me about two more grand. How many of you young men here would agree with me that a new truck is better than an old truck? Yes. The last time we broke down next to the road, going from Oklahoma on my way to preach a camp meeting in Virginia, my wife said, hey, it could be cold. We've got babies in here. Noah, you better buy a new truck. I said, yes, ma'am. You married folks know half the battle is getting your wife on board. I bought that new truck, and the power was so surprising. It was 200 more horse than what the old truck had. It pulls that trailer like nobody's business. But I didn't buy that big truck that cost a stinking fortune so that I could put two red wagons in the back and a puppy dog and drive around town. I didn't buy that big old truck with all the horses underneath the hood just so I could get up to the light and rev up and take off. No, that's not the primary purpose. Now, I did buy it for that, but that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose I bought that truck for was the fact that I've got a home that I pull everywhere that is 17,000 pounds. And can I tell you, the more power you get, you don't get power just to show off. You don't get power just to strut your stuff. You don't get power just so you can show off to those around you. You don't have power so you can talk about it. You got power because God is intending to heavy your load. He's about to load you up. Man, I wish somebody that's got the Holy Ghost would pull up to the dock and say, load me up, God. Load me up. I got this power for this purpose. Hallelujah. I've been endued for this reason. The power that I have is for me to carry the load of someone else. Some of you look at preachers and you think, man, I wish I had that anointing like Brother Webster has. Man, I wish I could preach like Brother Jacob Smith. I wish I could sing like Brother Dustin. I bet they have no battles. They seem to be so determined, I bet they don't even have a temptation that bothers them. I'm going to tell you something. You don't even have a clue what type of demons that are going to come after you when God endues you with power. You're now the target of every devil. Why? Because that little individual that didn't pose a threat now all of a sudden wakes up and speaks the name of Jesus and goes into another language that hell's saying. What are they saying? What are they saying? Get the decoder out. What are they talking about? What are they about to do? Because that holy, heavenly, Holy Ghost language begins speaking through you. And all of a sudden, it's not just something that makes you want to jump up and down and shout, but it makes you want to grab a Holy Ghost Bible belt and go looking for the devil and just give him a few licks because of all that he's done to you, all that he's done to your family. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And if God be for me, God's for me, but he's not just for me. God is in me. I said, God is in me. God is in me. I'm hiding in the shadow of the Almighty. I have power to whip the world with, to overcome sin and temptation through the power of the Holy Ghost. You need strength tonight. Help me, guys. I need the guys that were going to help me to go to the back. OBI, I want you to be on standby. That's why I didn't say nothing about your school. I still need your help. I hope you all know I'm joking. I love these people. I'm so glad they're here. We've got a group of individuals that's come to Jesus. They're getting ready to embrace a heavy load. They don't have any idea how much they're going to have to need the strength of God. Here's what I've come to tell us tonight is that when you carry another individual and you begin to help them in their needs, please listen to me. Be sensitive to their needs because you don't carry everybody the same. I preached at length last night longer than I should have, trying to portray the fact that there are differences in people's palsy. Some are just paralyzed. Some are out of control. You don't treat two, both one and the same, but you need the strength and the sensitivity of the Spirit of God to understand, I'm going to get them to Jesus. Now, I need my four men to go ahead and get on that chair. Hey, buddy, is your foot still bad or can you? Okay. Do me a favor and go back and sit in that chair. Quick, man, you said your foot was better. Now, they've made up their mind. Wait a minute. They're going to get him to God. His life depends on it. He can't get there by himself. I want you, some of you to hear me tonight. You're here tonight, but you didn't get here by yourself. Some of you have come a long way. Some of you are dependable, faithful. Some of you have went from campers to workers, but you didn't get here by yourself. Somebody's carried you. You got a brace for the weight, guys. Get ready. I want you to just pick him up for a moment. You're getting serious. Brother Nick's taking his jacket off. Didn't want to blow the arms out of his jacket. Now, it doesn't feel bad right there, but let me talk to you just a minute. Everybody likes to carry that person to God that's already free from devils. Everybody likes that person in their church or in their posse or in their youth group that doesn't have a problem with pornography. That's not a pervert. That you don't have to worry about leaving your purse out because they're going to steal something. You don't have to worry about them lying or cheating on you. You ain't got to worry. They're going to pay their tithe. They're going to be a good citizen. They're going to do. Yeah, they're not hard to carry. Go ahead and put him down. Come on up here, Ben. I didn't just pick Ben because of the fact that he's all man, all 208 pounds of him, plus a couple. But because the fact is sometimes it's more than just the fact that they're heavy. It's more than just the fact that they've got great needs. Sometimes they're resistant. Sometimes they're indecisive. Sometimes as you pick him up, now you've picked somebody up, you're about to pick up somebody else. Go ahead, come on, guys, what are you looking at? You better brace. You got to brace for the weight. You got to brace for the weight. And here's the part of the problem. Getting him up's not a big deal. You can get somebody to come to church, but getting them delivered. You see, we got to get them to where Jesus is. That you got to make up your mind. Go ahead and start coming this way just slowly. Here's what I want to tell you. When you're bringing somebody, I know some of you guys are worried. He ain't got far to fall. Come on, walk this way. Just a little bit. You got to work together. How many knows you got to work together? This ain't all about one of the Hammer boys. This ain't all about Brother Webster. Oh, man, I wish some of you'd hear this. I know there's just been a few of us preach, but it ain't been about Noah Hatfield. Oh, no. It ain't been about somebody with the last name of Goodwin or somebody with the last name of Webster. No, it's been about each and every one of us pushing, pressing, making up our mind with a determination. We're going to get them to Jesus. You know what you got to do while you're carrying them? You got to reassure them. You got an appointment with a miracle. I said you got an appointment with a miracle. God's about to do something for you. You're about to get a Holy Ghost makeover. You can't give up now. You can't walk away. Hold on. Come on, OBI. I need a hindrance. Come on. Here's what you find is that carrying them is just part of the battle. But when you get to his presence, most services you get in, you don't just walk in freely and embrace God's presence and have a miracle. But you got to tear away the hindrance. You might have to lay them down a moment. You might have to set them down. I know some of you are worried about a backache. You're going to be fine. You got to press through. You got to tear through the hindrance. You got to make up your mind. We're going to remove it. Come on, guys. Let's remove this hindrance. That's your job. This ain't mine. You carried him this far. Can I tell you, they're demonstrating what happens. We bring somebody that's been in the world 364 days out of the year, and on one Sunday, we want the preacher to do it all. We want the preacher to tear away all. Man, I wish some of you would help me preach. Make up your mind. I'm not going to leave a lost soul just to the preacher. No, I'm not. I'm not going to leave somebody that's full of pervert problems and iniquity. No, I'm going to tear away. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fight against the hindrance because I'm going to get them in the presence of God. Your hindrance is still there. You got to move it out of the way. And here's what you got to understand. There's nobody in the house. Likes it when you get noisy, loud, and destructive. I've heard people say, If you can't shout in the spirit without mucking up the carpet, without running into the wall, without scuffing it going around the wall, you ain't in the spirit. You don't know how desperate we are. You don't understand how bad this man needs Jesus. We might just tear your roof off. See, I appreciate the hand clap, but I wish some of you really meant what I just said, because some of us, we got to get to where, again, the church used to be known not for just being quiet, sit down, lollygagging individuals that just came peaceably praising God. No, we used to be known as a force to be reckoned with. We used to be known as individuals that if you get in our way, we will pray a way through you. I said we will pray a way through you. We will make up our mind that we're going to get through. We're going to tear off the hindrance. We're going to push it out of the way. Why? Because we're going to get them to Jesus. Came to the front. Stand with me just a moment. Let me finish my preaching. Are you going to stay with me? Will somebody raise their hands and ask us? Ask God to give us an altar call. Ask God to move in this place right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord. Man, would you help me right now just for a moment? We're going to ask God to help us with this service. Ask God to do what he wants us to do here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't be put off by that individual because of their iniquity. Don't be put off by their words. Don't you be fooled by what they say. Can I tell you that individual is praying a different prayer when you're not around? Some of the people we get up next to and we're praying with them, they may not say everything that they need to say. But can I tell you, when you ain't there to hear what they're saying, they are crying out to God. They are getting honest with their problem. They are begging God for a new power, a new fresh glory in their life. Can I tell you, you got to make up your mind. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what they do. I'm going to get them to Jesus. I'm going to pray until I see God moving in their life. I'm going to pray until they have a breakthrough. I'm going to pray until their family matter is settled. I'm going to pray until the iniquity has been rebuked out of their life. I'm going to pray until the Holy Ghost has subdued their very foes. I'm going to pray till God saturates them. These individuals made such a ruckus tearing up the house, letting this man down in. There were people no doubt upset. But they weren't trying to be obstructive, weren't trying to be mean. They were trying to get to Jesus. And when Jesus looked up, he didn't look down and see a man with palsy. He saw four men with faith. Wouldn't it be great if God looked down in this building tonight and he didn't see the 20 people that still need deliverance and freedom and liberty and infirmities healed, but he just saw a congregation full of faith. Full of faces that had expectation, that said, we brought him to you because we knew you'd fix him. Oh man, I believe they were smiling. I believe they was reassured. I believe they were confident this is where he needs to be more than anywhere else. I believe that we've got him in the presence of Almighty God. I'm closing with this. Can I tell you, getting somebody into the presence of the Lord is the greatest accomplishment you will ever, 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 ever have in your life. Greater than climbing Mount Everest. Greater than if you could swim the span of the ocean. Greater than if you could bench press the world on your shoulders. The greatest one accomplishment you'll ever have is getting somebody that could not get to God on their own in his presence and seeing the look on their face when Jesus comes in contact with their life and they have an altercation with the master. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. We need somebody to be an Andrew, a Philip, somebody that will declare, we have found him. We found him. We need people to be lifesavers, soul winners, community changers. What is the end result? The end result is somebody that came in that we don't know his name. We don't know anything about him. We just know his infirmity. He's fatherless for all we know. It doesn't matter. We got him in the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the fatherless has a name. Read it for yourself. Jesus sees their faith. Jesus sees their faith. But then he speaks to the palsy and says, son. That's what he says to the prostitute that we bring in off the street. It's what he says to the drug addict that we don't have any idea who their parents are or where they came from. That's what he says to the individual that's a no-name. That's what he says to the individual that's got needs and problems and mind problems and emotional situations. That's what he says. He gets them in his presence, and somebody that we've got no real idea all the inner torment they're in, he looks at them and he says, son. Does anybody know here tonight? I know it's already been said by Brother Lucas Swinney. It was so profound the way he said it. But can I say this again, not adding to it? It's one thing to ignore Jesus Christ. It's a terrible thing to ignore his presence. But as an individual, here's what you got to know. Whether you ignore God or not, he knows who he is. His identity is not something cloudy. He knows he's the Son of God. If he's with a harlot and she's washing his feet with her tears, he knows who he is. If he's had a woman at the well, she's got five husbands and the one she's got now in her own, and she's the community harlot, it doesn't change the fact that he's the Son of God. Don't make him feel any less. But here's what I want to tell some of you. There are individuals that come to this camp. You may know their name, but they ain't got a clue who they are. And they've let everybody in the world define them with the names that they've been given. Loser, dummy, stupid, drug addict. They don't have any idea who they really are. But when somebody the world doesn't even want to be associated with, and individuals hate to even be seen with or identified by, is not just identified, but associated with by Jesus Christ. And he doesn't just call them a friend. He calls them a relative. There's a progression in Christ when you bring somebody to him. They go from a nobody to a somebody. Can I tell you the second thing that happens is they get made new from the inside out. Jesus looks at him and he doesn't say, get up and walk, take up your bed and get out of here. But he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Can I tell some of you, you can go to hell with a bum leg, but you can also go to heaven with a bum leg. You can go to heaven with an arm in a cast. You can go to heaven with a speech impediment. You can go to heaven with cancer in your body. But can I tell you, you can't go there with sin in your life. I wish we as the church would once again get our priorities right and say, Lord, we ain't worried about how they look or how they make us look. God, help us to get them in a place that their sins are forgiven. We'll leave the rest up to you. Could we just get them in his presence and let God do the rest? I'm not going to tell him how to do his job. I'm not going to tell him how quick he's got to get it done. I'm just going to get them in his presence and let God be the transforming factor in their needy life. Sins are forgiven. That's God's priority. If you never walk again, you're forgiven. You've got a clean conscience. But because he wants us to know that he has power, not just over sin, he looks at the same individual that's already smiling because they're forgiven, and he says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Why didn't he tell him just to leave his bed there? Because the reality is that beds have a purpose, but not everywhere. Can I tell some of you, your eyes have a purpose, but not everywhere. You young people that's at the courting age, your hands have a purpose, not everywhere. You need to take that has been binding you, that has been controlling you, and you need to control it. How do I do that, preacher? It's been reverse roles so long. God gives you the power as a born-again saint of God to take that has bound you and put it in its place. I'm going to say this when we're about to pray. There's not a one of us that gets born again that can strut and stick our chest out and talk about what we've done. No more than you can brag about your first natural birth. How many, without us getting too deep in detail, understand that you ain't got nothing to do with it? Ain't nobody ever found a doctor, pat them on the back as a newborn and say, boy, you did a good job getting here. Can I tell you, it's no different with your second birth. The first birth is natural, but that second birth is impossible without the power of an almighty God, and it is nothing short of a miracle. And when that miracle takes place in you, it's one thing to say you're saved. It's one thing to say you're a Christian, but I wish my generation would adapt this old term again and declare to the world, I have been born again. The same God that gave me breath the first time has given me new life. I have new breath. I have new perspective. I have been made new in the presence of Almighty God. It's not easy getting somebody to God's presence. These guys are going to be sore in the morning. They'll be talking about this the next youth camp they go to. You remember when we carried Ben? And when Brother Hatfield got onto us after church because you set him down before I told you to. How long did he expect him to hold us or us to hold him? How long are you expected to pray for somebody till they're free? Till they pick up and carry what has been dictating their life. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. I've had no anticipation for exactly how this altar service is going to be. I've left it in the hands of God. I appreciate everybody that's helped me illustrate this. I know there's been times that we've smiled and that we've laughed. We appreciate God's spirit and his presence. But here's what I want to tell us in this place tonight is that it will be no easy chore what you're about to commit to. But there's somebody in this room that needs the Holy Ghost so bad that if they don't get power real soon, they're going to go back to a world that will overwhelm them. There's individuals that have vices that are still in their life that though they've prayed around an altar, unless they get something that completely sets them free, something that is an experience that is their own, not a hand-me-down, not a told-you-so, not something that mom and dad has talked about, but an experience that is their own that they can relate to. Some of you need to get in and feel the anointing for yourself. Some of you that have the Holy Ghost need to find out what your purpose of having the Holy Ghost is and become somebody. Making up your mind, I'm going to go to work for God. He didn't give me power just to lay around the house, but he gave me power to overcome the world and to get somebody into his presence. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God, I love you. I thank you, God, for your presence. I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for every individual that carried me. God, I thank you, Lord, for every person that prayed a prayer for this old backslidden preacher's son. God, I thank you, Lord, for every word of prayer that was said from somebody that wasn't related to me, but they knew that my need was great, and they knew that I needed you, and they knew that I was lost and undone. God, I thank you for the prayers that they prayed that carried me, Lord, until I got into a place where your presence became real to my life. I pray that you'd move around these altars. God, I pray that your sweet presence would fill this place. God, as melody begins to come from these speakers and as saints begin to lift up your name, I pray that you would draw all men unto you. I pray that lives would be transformed. I pray that souls would be changed. You give us an altar call where nobody gets in a hurry, but God, where everybody seeks for the good and the betterment of the soul that's praying next to them. Give us a made up mind.
Give us a heart for you. God, let your strength, God, become something that is supernatural in us. God, even though we may be weak in body, God, we know that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. I pray you'd move around these altars, that you would touch each and every life. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. God, provide the atmosphere as we give you glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As your head's still bowed, as eyes are still closed, I want you to begin to ask God in this place, Lord, who is it? Who is it that I need to grab hold of their arm and I need to go to the altar with them? I'm about to ask you to do something that's probably uncomfortable for a young person, but this is something that you'll find as an adult that you're going to need that sensitivity to God, that God directs you and leads you. This is your opportunity. This is trial and error. This is taking you out of the classroom and in to the reality of life right now as you're praying, God, who is it that I need to pray with tonight? And I need to see them get victory. It may be that you go to find someone, and before you do, somebody finds you. Don't resist them, but go to the altar. Get everything you need from God. As you're praying right now, as you and I are getting ready, who's going to be the first to just step out with somebody else and say, we're going to pray together. We're going to believe God for a miracle in their life. Some of you came with some individuals and you know that God's going to help you. You believe God has already done something for you, but you're believing God for somebody else. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to bind us together. I'm trying to help us as a church become a body. Quit acting as individuals and act as the body of Christ. Come on, come on. They're doing it one at a time. There's a few coming forth at this moment. I want you to begin to obey God. Commit. Don't you pick up somebody just to drop them. Don't you leave them at that altar. Don't you leave them in the same circumstance, the same situation that you found them. But make up your mind, I'm going to get them to Jesus. I'm going to pray with them until I know that God's power's touched them. They're new, they're touched, they're brand new. God, help us tonight. Come on, let's not let anybody exclude themselves. Come on, church, don't you stand back there in a pew. Not as long as there's somebody needy. We need you tonight. We need you to pray with a young person. We need you to make up your mind. I'm going to use the power that God has given me to make a difference in somebody's life. Would you do it? Come on, let's find us somebody to pray.
Days I feel the enemy surrounding me. If I breathe, he will come.
Come on, church, come on.
And devour me. Oh, but I speak the name. Yes, I speak
come on,
the
name. Come on, come on.
It's then I speak the name. It's such a wonderful name. Oh, Jesus, something about the name of Jesus.
There's healing in the name of Jesus.
Peace in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Come on, church, come on.
Something about the name of Jesus.
I'm covering you. I've got your back. I'm not going to let you fall. You don't have to wonder. I'm here. I believe in God for you. Come on, brace for
oh,
it.
Oh, Jesus.
Something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Peace in the name of Jesus.
Oh, he made the lame to walk. He made the dumb to talk. And he caused the blind to see.
Oh, he made a way for me.
And when I was
down and out
in deep despair, the Savior came and found me there.
And he brought me out. Oh, there is no doubt.
Somebody say the name Jesus.
Something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Peace.